This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Darling, you must to be the best and give his best religion to them, Rasulullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back to another live edition of Gardens of the Pious. And it just happened to be the last and the final episode in the blessed series of Gardens of the Pious or Riyadu Salihin by Imam Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Nawawi, may Allah have mercy on him. Today's episode is number 756, and it is the eighth in studying the most beautiful chapter, chapter number 372, which explains some of the benefits which Allah the Almighty has prepared for the believers in paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among them. More than 10 years ago, we started together learning Riyadu Salihin. I believe it was early January 2013, twice a week, and it's been a little over 10 years. In this January, it is already 10 years. A few days over 10 years by the grace of Allah. I have learned a lot. I have benefited a great deal while preparing the episodes of Gardens of the Pious. And I begin by saying, may Allah be pleased with Imam Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Nawawi. May Allah have mercy on him for compiling this amazing collection of truly Riyadu Salihin or Gardens of the Pious. We have only remaining two ahadith in this beautiful chapter of explaining the bounties of what Allah the Almighty have prepared for Ahlul Jannah on the Day of Judgment. Then inshallah we'll shed some light on the series and also we'll discuss the future plans together. These two remaining ahadith are both highly profound and very beautiful, and they deliver indeed the greatest glad tiding ever. The first hadith, hadith number 1895. In this hadith, which is narrated by Jarir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, قال كنا عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فنظر إلى القمر ليلة البدر وقال إنكم سترون ربكم عيانا كما ترون هذا القمر لا تضامون في رؤيته. متفق عليه. So Jarir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that we once were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he looked at the full moon and observed, you shall see your Lord in the hereafter as you see in this moon, and you will not feel the slightest inconvenience in seeing him. Also, I would like to take the following hadith, then explain them both and discuss the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the mainstream Muslims in this regard. Hadith number 1896. And it is also a sound hadith collected by Imam Muslim and narrated by Suhaib, may Allah be pleased with him. عن صهيب رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا دخل أهل الجنة الجنة يقول الله تبارك وتعالى تريدون شيئا أزيدكم فيقولون ألم تبيض وجوهنا ألم تدخلنا الجنة وتنجنا من النار فيكشف الحجاب فما أعطوا شيئا أحب إليهم من النظر إلى ربهم. رواه مسلم. قال الله تعالى إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات يهديهم ربهم بإيمانهم تجري من تحتهم الأنهار تجري من تحتهم الأنهار في جنات النعيم دعواهم فيها سبحانك اللهم وتحيتهم فيها سلام وآخر دعواهم أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. These two verses of Surah Yunus, the 9th and the 10th verses. Suhayl radiyallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, when the people of heaven enter it already, the Almighty Allah, the Glorious and the Exalted, will say to them, do you wish me to give you anything more? They will reply, have you not made our faces bright? Have you not brought us into Jannah and delivered us from the hellfire? And Allah the Almighty will remove the veil, and the dwellers of heaven will feel that they have not been rewarded anything dearer to them than looking at the Lord. The Almighty Allah, the Exalted, says in the Quran in Surah Yunus, chapter number 10, in the two consecutive verses 9 and 10, what it means, those who believe and do good deeds, the Lord will guide them through their faith. Under them will flow rivers in the gardens of paradise. Their way of request therein will be, glory be to you, O Allah. And peace and safety from evil will be their greetings therein. And close of their request will be, the conclusion of their dua will be, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises and thanks are to Allah, the Lord of everything that exists. So in these two ahadith, which as I said, they happen to be the final ahadith in this regard, the Almighty Allah confirmed to us the glad tidings and the good news that not only the believers, because of their patience, because of their endurance, because of doing good deeds before, after believing in the oneness of Allah, because of abstaining from sins and disobedience, because of not associating any with Allah in worship, that they will enter Jannah and they will be rewarded to abide eternally therein. But furthermore, there is even a greater reward. According to the hadith, the first hadith, the hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bujali, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that when we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah, then he looked at the moon, full moon night, bright, clear skies. So he pointed to it, he said, do you have any problem seeing the bright moon on a full moon night? He said, no, clear skies, mashallah. He said, by Allah, as it is clear for you to see the moon in the sky, inshallah, on the day of judgment, you will get to see the Almighty Allah as clear as seeing the moon. Before I discuss anything of the hadith, there's something called tashbih, likening. When I meet somebody who looks like somebody else, I say, subhanallah, you look exactly like brother so-and-so. Or a town looks like this town. Or a vehicle looks like that vehicle. But when I say that the Prophet ﷺ said to his companions, as you don't have any problem seeing the bright moon on a full moon night, likewise you will get to see Allah the Almighty clearly on the Day of Judgment without any inconvenience, it doesn't mean that Allah will look like the moon. This is absolutely dismissed. It is not even on the table. This understanding does not exist. We're talking about the likening of the clarity of the visibility. As clear as it is visible to you when you see the moon, also it will be very clear on the Day of Judgment, to get to see Allah the Almighty without hijab, without barriers, without fogs, without clouds, without having to climb on top of each other like it's just a single spot. No. The nur of Allah the Almighty will be visible for Ahlul Jannah. And this is the greatest reward that the Almighty Allah has prepared for the dwellers of paradise. This is after they all settle in heaven and everyone has taken their palaces, their properties, which in the previous episodes we said that the least sharer of a shareholder in Jannah, somebody who spent years in hellfire to be purified after he has become like a burning coal, charcoal, now Allah the Almighty will take him out and make his body sprout again. And then he will revive him and bring him to Jannah. Then he will enter Al-Jannah. He will ask Allah, I did not find any room for me. So Allah the Almighty will say, go back and look. Go back and look. How much do you want? You will get 10 times as much as the entire worldly life that we're living in and more. And this is the least share of a shareholder in Jannah. So everyone now is settled. The Almighty Allah will call upon Ahl al-Jannah. Ya Ahl al-Jannah, are you happy? Of course, why shouldn't we be happy? You saved us from hellfire. You admitted us to paradise. You give us everything that we desired and even more. Allah will tell them that there is more. In one hadith, he says, رِضَائِي فَلَا أَصْخَطُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَبَدًا. What is more, O Allah, that I will be pleased with you and I will never be upset nor displeased with you. Allahu Akbar. In another narration, and when I say narration, I'm referring to over 80 different ahadith narrated by about 30 companions of the Prophet ﷺ of the sound ahadith indicating that Ahlul Jannah will get to see the Almighty Allah clearly in paradise, and that will be the greatest reward for them. What did you say again? How many ahadith? 80. And how many companions have narrated the ahadith pertaining to getting to see Allah the Almighty clearly on the Day of Judgment for Ahlul Jannah? 30 companions. 30? That sounds like very mutawatir, with a continuous testimony that should be highly profound. Ahadith, plural of hadith. Yes, indeed. And that's why some of the imams, such as Ibn Baz, may Allah have mercy on him and others, said that the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the mainstream Muslim Ummah, that Ahlul Jannah will most definitely get to see the Almighty Allah by their own eyes, not in dreams, not imagination, and he will be visible to them as clear as the moon on a full moon night, on clear skies. This is what the Quran stated in Surah Al-Qiyamah and in Surah Yunus, and I'm going to quote the ayat. And this is what 80 different sound ahadith have narrated by more than 30 companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those imams said, whoever denies and dismisses the possibility of seeing the Almighty Allah on the Day of Judgment for Ahlul Jannah is a disbeliever. Because he or she will be simply dismissing not only the sound and mutawatir ahadith, but also the clear Quran. And how would they do about it? They will have to give a different interpretation. Let me begin with the reference of Surah Al-Qiyamah, in which Allah the Almighty says, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. What do you understand out of these ayat 22 and 23 of Surah Al-Qiyamah? وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ, some faces on that day, يعني on the Day of Judgment, will be نَاظِرَةٌ, bright, beautiful, shining with nur. Why? Reflecting what they see. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرًا. They will be bright, their faces will be bright because of looking and staring at the nur of the Almighty Allah. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرًا. Because they would be looking at the Lord. Just the clear. You don't have to be an Arab to extract the clear, obvious meaning. It doesn't have any hidden meaning. And it could not tolerate any different interpretation. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. So in Surah Al-Qiyamah, the two consecutive verses, 22 and 23. Chapter number 75, which discusses the events of the Day of Judgment and the Day of Resurrection, Allah confirmed some faces will be bright. Why? Because you will be looking at the Lord. وَوُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَاسِرَةٌ. Why other faces will be ugly and covered with dust? تَظُنُّ أَن يُفْعَلَ بِهَا فَقِرَةٌ. They are certain that they are... They're about to be thrown in hellfire. They will have a terrible fate. While in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, before I go to Surah Yunus, in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Allah says about the non-believers and the wicked on the Day of Judgment, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. Nay, on the day from the Lord, they will be barred. They will not get to see Allah. They will not get to see Allah. They are deprived. Because seeing the Almighty Allah is going to be the greatest reward for the dwellers of Jannah. But those people are wicked and criminals. عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. يعني they will be barred from seeing their Lord. Chapter number 83, ayah number 15. We go to Surah Yunus, peace be upon him. Verse number 26. Allah the Almighty says, and my heart is about to fly out of my chest, out of joy, out of delight, out of hope. And I'm praying that myself, my family members, my parents, my wife, my children, my loved ones, and all of you brothers and sisters, all the viewers that will be in this situation, and they will be addressed by the Almighty Allah in Jannah, when Allah the Almighty will say, do you want anything more? Do you wish for anything more? Then Allah the Almighty will appear without hijab before the dwellers of paradise. So the Almighty Allah says in ayah number 26 of Surah Yunus, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً. For those who did good, the reward will be al-husna. Al-husna, point blank, is heaven, Jannah. Look, أولئك أصحاب الجنة هم فيها خالدون. Those who believed and did good righteous deeds, such people are the owners, the dwellers, the inhabitants of heaven. They shall abide therein eternally خالدون. May Allah make us among them. So للذين أحسنوا الحسنى, for them there will be the reward al-husna, yani jannah. So what is waziyada? Waziyada, what does it mean? Ziyada, extra. Yani, the ultimate goal of most of the believers is to be saved from hellfire and to enter jannah. Allah the Almighty says in ayah 185, chapter number 3, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. Simply by being pushed away from hellfire, and then obviously if you're not in hell, you'll be in heaven. فقد فاز, you've achieved success. This is indeed the ultimate success. وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. This entire life is simply the joy of deception. It's nothing. But this is not the only reward, that to enter al-Jannah, لهم ما يشاءون فيها. You get everything that Allah the Almighty will answer all your demands, your dreams. ولدينا مزيد. And we always have more for them. Among what is more is رضاء الله عز وجل. That Allah the Almighty will declare that He is pleased with them, and He will never ever be displeased or upset with them. Why? Because there is no more commandment. There is no more do's and do not do's. It's simply the time to enjoy. So he will never be upset with them. And he will never take any of Ahlul Jannah out of Jannah. Khalas. Eternally. Forever. And waziyada. Extra. Beyond their imagination. This is when the Almighty Allah appears by himself before his servants, the dwellers of heaven, and that will be the greatest joy and delight. And all the bounties that they have been given in heaven will mean nothing compared to seeing the Almighty Allah. How? This is the simple explanation which distinguishes between true Muslims and innovators. Muslims on the straight path and deviant people who ascribe them to Islam, but they're deviant. They ascribe themselves to Islam, but they're deviant. What does it mean? It means like exactly when the Almighty Allah says, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa. Ar-Rahman, the most beneficent. Ala means above, al-arsh, the throne. Istawa, settled. How? I don't know. Because I haven't seen Allah, not even in a dream. And as the Almighty Allah said, ala al-arsh istawa, he didn't explain how. Neither the Prophet ﷺ explained to his companions how. They understood it as is, and there is no room for imagination. When you imagine, you can only imagine something other you are able to visualize, or you visualize something similar to it. And Allah the Almighty said in ayah number 11 of Surah Ash-Shura, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like him at all. You cannot compare anything to him or liken anything to him or liken him to anything else. And he is the all hearer, he is the all seer. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدًا. Fourth verse of Surah Al-Ikhlas. And no one is ever equivalent nor comparable to him. Great! So, we take it as is, and we stop trying to imagine because it's simply beyond our imagination. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the journey of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj, had to undergo an open heart surgery, not by a heart surgeon, but rather by the angels, Jibreel, Israfil, and Mikael, in order to prepare the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for things that human beings could not tolerate. He have seen and witnessed things not even angels were able to witness. So because of that, the Almighty Allah prepared them for the sacred journey. So we're not prepared. Simply Allah the Almighty informed us about things that we were able to visualize physically hundreds of years later. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق. So we learn what is alaq, but hundreds of years after this verse was revealed. In Surah Al-Hajj, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّنَ الْبَعْثِ فَإِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِّن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِّن نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ مِّن عَلَقَةٍ ثُمَّ مِّن مُضْغَةٍ مُخَلَّقَةٍ وَغَيْرِ مُخَلَّقَةٍ. The entire embryology in one ayah. When? 1450 years ago. So later on, we were able to visualize, and it has become very simple to the extent that with the ultrasound in the first trimester, the doctor will be able to determine the gender of the fetus. MashaAllah. But congratulations, we knew all of that before even the ultrasound was discovered, because it is in the Quran. Similarly, there are a lot of things. There is a veil between us and them. We're not able to visualize them. Some will be visualized in the life of this dunya and some never, only in Jannah, only when you enter Jannah, such as seeing the Almighty Allah. So they have, this is not a question. And this is none of your business. This is number one. Number two. When I say, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm explaining so that when I mention some of the deviant sects and their belief in disregard, you know where they're coming from. And you know why they objected to that. And why they ended up changing the meaning of the clear verses which I recited earlier of Surah Al-Qiyamah, of Surah Yunus, and so on. When you say Al-Mu'tazila, a deviant sect, Al-Khawarij, deviant sect. So when Al-Mu'tazila said, you can never claim that you will see Allah on the Day of Judgment. Why not, sir? They said, because if we're talking about seeing the moon has a place and has boundaries and has outlines. That's right. So if you think that you'll get to see Allah the Almighty, that means you are likening the Almighty Allah to His creation. And you're claiming that He has a certain physical being which have boundaries and limits, and you will be able to comprehend that. Who told you that? Did the ahadith or the ayat say so? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will be looking at Allah, seeing Allah, does it mean that your eyes will be able to comprehend the boundaries of Allah? He's beyond boundaries. So when you look at the sun here, say, I saw the sun, sunrise. And somebody in North America, over 10,000 miles away, say, I saw the sun. And somebody in Australia, 12 hours difference, I saw the sun. Sun is huge. It is 1.3 million times greater than the size of our Earth planet with 8 plus billion human beings. So what you saw is just a drop in an ocean. What your eyes were able to comprehend, not the entire sun. So when we say that you will get to see Allah, Allah will allow you to see some of His nur. How much you can comprehend, but how? I don't know. And no one can ever answer this question until you have, because we're not in Jannah yet. But the Almighty Allah will equip you with the means which will make you enabled and able to get to see whatever the Almighty Allah will enable to see out of Him. Alhamdulillah. So, the belief of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, the entire Muslim Ummah, apart from the deviant sects, that inshallah when we enter Jannah, we'll get to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is indeed the greatest news. Suhaib, the hadith of Suhaib, we shared with you before. And the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bujali. The word and the hadith which I would like to explain before we take a short break. When a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companions, لا تضامون في رؤيته. There is another different pronunciation, which means لا تضامون في رؤيته. And الضم is to be like, you know, stick to each other. It's very crowded. Like whenever there is a flat screen, people are watching a game, for instance, the final tournament in the World Cup. And everyone is on top of each other because the screen is limited. So there is limited space and everyone wants to see. They are very crowded on top of each other. But it's not the case. Everyone will be sitting in their palace, in their properties, which is 10 times greater than this entire dunya and what it contains. And we'll get to see Allah without any inconvenience, with comfort. And that will reflect upon their faces so that wujuhun yawma'idhin nadira. إلى ربها ناظرة. Let's take a short break and we'll be back إن شاء الله in a few minutes. Please stay tuned. رسول الله حبيب الله رسول الله حبيب الله رسول الله حبيب الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome back, my dear viewers, to the second segment of the final episode in the series of Gardens of the Pious by Imam Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Nawawi. May Allah have mercy on him. We'll take a couple calls, then I would like to have a chat with you before we wrap up today's episode. Ali from the UK, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Huda TV.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sheikh. I have a question for you about my grandfather. He recently died, but I'm really concerned of a sin that he committed when he was young. Basically, he killed his brother, and I asked my father why did he do that, and he said that his younger brother was very rude to his mother. He always shouted, screamed, insulted her, never listened to her. He tried to speak to him. He did not listen. And after a while, he stabbed him. But he never made Tawbah because he said, I did this in self-defense. It's allowed in Islam. So my question is this justified or is this haram what he did? What does Islam say about this?
The Quran says in this regard in Surah An-Nisa, chapter number 4, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ أَن يَقْتُلَ مُؤْمِنًا إِلَّا خَطَآ وَمَن يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. I believe that is verse number 92, chapter number 4. Allah the Almighty says, it is not possible or imaginable for a believer to kill another believer unless if it was by mistake and deliberately. And whoever, وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا خَطَأً فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ. Then afterward, the Almighty Allah explains the punishment in the following ayah, number 93, the punishment for a person who kills a believer deliberately. وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا his recompense will be count with me to abide eternally in hellfire. And Allah is angry with him. And Allah curses him. And he has prepared for him عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا a great torment. So, I hope and I pray that your grandfather did not take the life of his own brother deliberately. I hope and I pray it was by mistake, accidentally. And in this case, inshallah, Allah will forgive him. Otherwise, even in the case of killing, in Surah Al-Furqan, the Almighty Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. So Allah the Almighty listed some of the major sins, including killing and unjustified killing, deliberately killing an innocent person. Then the Almighty Allah said the recompense will abide, that they will receive double the torment on the Day of Judgment in hellfire and they will abide therein forever. Then he made an exception. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Except for those who truly repented, believed in Allah, did what is righteous, and they repented. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Allah will turn their bad deeds into good deeds. And Allah is ever oft forgiven, most merciful. So keep praying for your grandfather's mercy. May Allah have mercy on him. May Allah forgive him his sins. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sister Rahma from the UK, welcome to Huda TV. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. I have a quick question. Mm-hmm. I gave birth last Tuesday to a baby girl, and I named her Fatiha. I took it from the book of Surah Al-Fatiha. So, but most of people are telling me it's haram. I should not name my child from the Quran. So I have this question. Is it haram for me to name my daughter Fatiha?
Look, first of all, to begin with haram and halal, it is not haram. But with regards to the meaningful of the name or the meaningfulness of the name, I wouldn't choose this name for my daughter. Choose a name that would suit her as a child and as a teenager, as a grown-up, as a mother, as a grandmother. Al-Fatiha means the opening. So what is the opening here? Like you, somebody calls his daughter Fatiha. What do you mean? Opening of what? Okay? Something is missing there. So I would recommend you choose a beautiful names. Name out of the beautiful names. I love some of my children named Sarah, Ruqayya, and there is Safiya. These are all beautiful names. The lady companions, hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. Suhaila, Tasneem. You can choose any other beautiful name instead of a name which might not suit an individual. When we say Al-Fatiha, it is the name of Surah Al-Fatiha, the greatest chapter of the Quran, because it happens to be the opening of the Quran. So what is the meaning that your daughter is the opening? The opening of what? Something is missing here. May Allah bless you and your family, respected sister. Assalamu alaikum. Sister Fatima from India, and that will be the final call for the episode. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaykum assalam, little Fatima. I'm happy that the last caller in the series of Gardens of the Pious will be Fatima, the young viewer from India. How are you, Fatima?
Alhamdulillah, shukran, I'm fine. How are you?
Okay, how can I help you today?
So I personally want to thank you for all the knowledge that you shared through these episodes, the beautiful knowledge that I've also learned. And I wanted to ask you if there's a facility from where I can watch the previous episodes of Garden of the Pious from the past 10 years, or is there any podcast or anything that, from where I can view the past episodes?
Right before the program, Fatima, I checked online and I found from the very beginning, the first episode, they're all there on YouTube and various websites, even on the Facebook. And as a matter of fact, I was so happy to know that some sisters have their own halqa and they transcribe and they study every episode of Gardens of the Pious. So if the sisters who are watching right now and they have access to that, they share with us the link, so maybe others can benefit out of that as well. And I was approached by some publishers that they want to turn the series into, books. So maybe, inshallah, we'll start doing this as well. But all the episodes of Gardens of the Pious, all the episodes of Correct Your Recitation from the very beginning are available online and absolutely for free. In addition to, you'll find them on our archive of Huda TV YouTube channel. Barakallahu fikum, Fatima. And now, brothers and sisters, what is next? I'm trying to hold myself together because this is a very emotional moment for me. You know, this is like having a child growing up before your very eyes, and now it is time to leave your house. By the grace of Allah, this is a great accomplishment. And I never thought that I would live until we finish it. Over 10 years, alhamdulillah, twice a week, studying this great collection of Riyadh al-Salihin. And as I said, wallahi, I have benefited a lot. I have benefited a great deal from mere preparing for these episodes. And I have learned a lot, alhamdulillah. And I hope and I pray that the viewers have benefited as well. Your feedback will be highly appreciated. You can drop your feedback either in the comment bar on my Facebook page or Huda TV Facebook page or Huda TV YouTube channel or our web site. So I'm thinking maybe we have several choices, and you can assist me also with the choice. We'll run a survey. Either the 40 Nawawi Hadith, and I've taught the 40 Nawawi Hadith several times, particularly in Dubai, with Kalima organization in the USA and other places, also in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur. So maybe you can study the 40 Nawawi Hadith, and we can also study Al-Adab al-Mufrad, which is a beautiful compilation by Imam Al-Bukhari. May Allah have mercy on him. It is not necessarily a collection of the sound ahadith of Imam al-Bukhari. But Al-Adab al-Mufrad deals with the individual etiquette, stemming from the ahadith, either mawquf or marfu', or the actions of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And I think this is really important. We may start studying certain chapters of the collection of Imam Bukhari, such as the book of Riqaq or Fiqh al-Hadith. So give me your impression. What would you like to learn next? And inshallah, we'll share with all of you before the next episode what will be the upcoming series, inshallah azza jal. I can't but thank the Almighty Allah for every help and blessings that He helped us and blessed us with, for Huda TV, for this beautiful screen, for the magnificent company, for bringing me all the way from the States in order to start and help launch in Huda TV, for all the programs which Allah the Almighty blessed me to be a presenter in these programs, mashallah, la quwwata illa billah, for all the ups and downs that we've been through in Huda TV. Also, I thank all of you, my dear viewers, for tuning in, for helping, for supporting. And I know that some of you have been constantly making dua. And this is as important as the financial help, or even more. Alhamdulillah wa shukrillah. So may Allah bless you all, and may Allah continue to bless this channel and the supporters, the viewers, the sponsors, the presenters, the cast, everyone even behind the camera, and everyone who spreads the light of Huda TV in every house. Jazakumullahu khairan. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidana ilma. Walhamdulillahi ala kulli hal wa na'udhu billahi min hali ahli an-nar. Also, I'd like to make this dua by the end, which is to nullify and get rid of any possibility of riya or showing off. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushika bika shay'an a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lamu. And we conclude by saying, Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Allahumma taqabbal minna saliha a'malina wa tajawaz lana an sayyi'atina. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Allah, our God is the greatest, the one and only glory to Him. He born in humans to be the best and give His best religion to them.
So why did they ignore that? Forgetting all about Him in paradise. Worshipping cows, fire and stones, selling the best with the cheapest price.
So why did they ignore that? Forgetting all about hell and paradise. Worshipping cows, fire and stones, selling their best with the cheapest price.
Rasulullah.